back to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. It's time for our Worldview Watch, teaching you to think with the echo of Christianity to apply discernment and truth to the present age. And today, my guest is Pastor Matthew Whitefelt. He is an admissions counselor at Concordia Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, as well as the director of Christ Academy there at Fort Wayne. He's been on before to talk about pastoral formation. And today, what we're going to talk about is, well, why pastors? What are they for? I mean, why would we consider this part of our Christian worldview, the belief in this office of the ministry? Welcome, Pastor Whitefelt.
Thank you, Jonathan. It's good to be with you again.
Absolutely. So this morning, in that first hour that we have a little bit of devotion time, I talked a bit from Dr. Martin Chemnitz about the office of the ministry in the church. And he says this. He says, to feed the church of God with the true, pure, and salutary doctrine of the divine word is the reason that the office of the ministry has been entrusted to the church and then is entrusted to individual men. The question that I think most Americans are going to wrestle with in this creates a distinction between the man who serves as pastor and everybody else in that building. And we have a knee-jerk reaction to that, right? There's a tension there that we almost want to get rid of, it would seem, because we're afraid that the pastor is, the authority there is going to be abused. And my question then for you is, you know, how can we reckon with that? I mean, or I'll maybe just say it this way. Isn't this idea that the pastor has the authority to feed us with the word, isn't this just setting us up to have some false teacher run roughshod over us?
Oh, absolutely not. This is simply showing that there's different and distinct purposes for each of us as Christians. And this one person, the one man who has been called by the congregation in order to serve as Christ in that, in his stead, is there simply to deliver the gifts, to feed the congregation with his word and with his sacrament. And so the pastor simply is just like every other individual, except he has a special and distinct call that is to preach, to teach, and to administer the sacrament. So I would say fear not to your listeners, simply because the pastor is in the stead and by the command of Christ there to take care of them and to make sure that his word is being preached in its pureness as according to the word of God in our Lutheran confessions, and that the sacrament is distributed and administered correctly and appropriately in that place and at the right time.
Maybe some of the other fear is this. Maybe it's this old medieval idea that there are some jobs that are holier than others. And yeah. So the pastor, if we believe that the pastor is actually set apart to do this job of feeding us with the word, that means the rest of us aren't quite as good as he is. And that's not fair. frankly, that's wrong, right? There's nothing, I don't want to say less holy, but nothing more good about being a pastor than being a farmer, a baker, a candlestick maker, whatever it is. All vocations have their own value.
Exactly. All vocations have their own value, and all vocations are necessary for not just the church, but also for the world, so that we can continue to live together as brothers and sisters in Christ. St. Paul makes the distinction that even though we're all one body with its many members, and the eye is not supposed to say to the thumb that it is less important. And the same thing goes for the office of pastor. The pastor is no more important than any other member within that congregation. He is just set apart to do something distinct by Christ's own command and using Christ's word and sacrament in order to forgive his people and to call them to community together. So there's nothing holier than thou with the office of pastor. There's nothing separate or distinct except for what the pastor is called to do as according to his vocation as pastor within that congregation.
Yeah, one of the examples I would use from my own life is, I mean, you really don't want me doing your plumbing. I promise. You don't want me doing it. You want somebody who knows what they're doing, because otherwise you're going to have
a leak.
And the pastor then is set apart to be the one who does, well, the feeding with the word.
Exactly. And you don't want me to do your automotive work. So that's the same goes for me too. Yeah, the pastor is simply called to be the person who is trained within the special area first, but then also through the divine call is placed within that congregation in order to deliver the goods that Christ gives, forgiveness and life and salvation that come to us from Christ on the cross.
Now, it seems to me that trying to prepare a young man or an older man for this job and this understanding of his job, that this isn't the seat of glory in the congregation. This isn't the place where everyone's going to laud and praise you or love you. This is the place where you're there to, like you said, forgive. That seems like a pretty high task. Can you, and maybe this is too specific, so you don't have to answer it, but can you tell me how the seminary tries to engender in men a respect for the office that does not give them pride in themselves?
Yeah, so as a seminary as a whole, I mean, being dealing with the holy things, that in itself breeds for humility. And we, as especially in our admissions process, will work with guys who are already seeing this as a special and holy task, something that many of our guys, and I would say all of our guys even coming in, see as something that they are not in and of themselves worthy to be a part of and worthy to do. And so, in fact, it actually, as an admissions counselor, it takes a lot of encouraging for guys to realize, yeah, you are not worthy. However, Christ needs this task done, and Christ calls men into the office of the holy ministry, not because of their holiness or their righteousness in and of themselves, but because he has a task and that needs to be done, that is the forgiveness of sins. So within our curriculum, the formation process is one that is a humbling experience. First showing the guys what they don't know and leveling out the things that there may be even common misconceptions that have cropped up through their personal experiences, and leveling all of that to then build off of, on that foundation through the Word, through the confessions, and through the four disciplines of theology as well, doctrine, Bible, practical, and historical theology, all of that playing together, coming together, and playing a part into the formation through the wonderful talents that our faculty bring to our seminary.
There's an old word that I know we teach it at both seminaries, but doesn't really make its way very often into the common language of the Missouri Synod. But an old word for the pastor that I think is really helpful, both for the pastor himself to try to see himself as this, as well as for the people to try to see him as this, and it's Seelsorger, right? It's this German word that means cure of souls. Can you maybe talk about that for a moment?
Yeah, the pastor is the one who is called into that congregation because of his vocation to care for the souls of the individuals. He's like the doctor for the soul of for the members of the congregation. Where we as a church are a hospital for the sick, as opposed to the country club for those who are well. We administer the tools that Christ has given us, his tools of forgiveness through his Word and through his sacraments, baptism, confession, absolution, and the Lord's Supper. So the Lord is the one doing the work, just like it's not the doctor who is the one who is truly providing the care. He is administering the gifts that the Lord has given him. So too the pastor in that congregation is using only simply what the Lord has given him, Word and sacrament, to care for the souls and to diagnose the needs of the individual, whether that be to forgive the sins of the penitent sinner or to retain the sins of the impenitent sinner, the one who lives outside of Christ's gift of forgiveness.
To paraphrase our synodical first president, C.F.W. Walther, I think this is out of Law and Gospel. I'm doing this from memory here, but he effectively says that the pastor has no authority but the Word of God, which he is sent to speak. And it's kind of an ironic statement in that it means none of the pastor's opinions matter, none of his skills matter, none of his ideas matter, but the Word of God that he's studied and will correctly, in theory, in hope, in prayer, deliver that's all authority in heaven and earth, right? There is nothing that's not under that. And so when the pastor comes with that scripture is to be the thing that we are all put under. And at the heart of that is when he stands up there and he says, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus, I forgive you, right? I remove your sin from you. Exactly. And that is really what feeding the sheep ultimately is all about and driving people to. Now, for the last moments here, if somebody was listening and they're like, they've thought about maybe pursuing pastoral ministry before, what would be a step they could take to kind of explore that a little bit?
Yeah, first, obviously, read and become more acquainted with your Bible, become acquainted with the Lutheran Confessions, the Book of Concord, and then my advice would simply be come and visit us. Come and visit either of the seminaries that our synod has to check us out and to see what the formation process looks like and how that then is used to create pastors for the church. Our seminaries have been tasked with this holy and awesome responsibility of preparing men for the office of the holy ministry and preparing women for the office of diaconal service as well. And we take that very seriously. And our goal is to through the Word of God and through our Lutheran confessions, prepare men for that office to go out and to care for souls. Once they've been called into a congregation.
With just about 20 seconds left, you mentioned come and check it out and experience it. And Christ Academy is a way for young men to do that. Just give like 20 seconds on what Christ Academy is.
Exactly. Christ Academy is a 2-week summer academy for young men to come to our seminary and to study theology and to explore potential service within the church, to learn from our faculty, to be within our community for 2 weeks, to worship with us, and to have some fun along with your fellow brothers who are interested in this as well. So we'd love to have any of your listeners join us. So just take a look at our website, go to the events page, and check out Christ Academy High School.
Pastor Matthew Weifelt, admissions counselor at Concordia Fort Wayne, director of Christ Academy. Thanks for being with us today.
Hey, thanks, Jonathan. It was great being with you today, too.
You know, a pastor without people is a pretty poor thing, but a people with a pastor giving them the word of God is the church, right? And the church gathers around this great and precious promise of who Jesus is, what he's done, what he's coming again to do, and you better believe it, universe, he is coming back to do it, to justify us all with his own recompense. May not be today, may not be tomorrow, but in either case, I do look forward to waking up with you at the dawn.